Please turn in your New King James Bibles now to Psalm 7. Psalm 7. Let's hear the word read, and then meditation upon it. Psalm 7.
Psalm 7. O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I had done this, if there is iniquity in my hands, if I have repaid evil to him who is at peace with me, or have plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue me and overtake me. Yes, let him trample my life to the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded. So the congregation of the people shall surround you. For their sakes, therefore, return on high. The Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. My defense is of God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a just God, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. He also prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealings shall come down on his own crown. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Now here in Psalm 7 again, we continue through this, I don't want to say series, but this collection of psalms dealing with the salvation of God. And if you look in the superscription up here, that means the writing at the top, kids. Super means top, inscription is writing. It says that this is a song, a meditation of David, which he sang to Jehovah concerning the words of Cush, a Benjamite. And that was when Cush, or Cush, however you want to pronounce it, accused David of doing something which he hadn't done. But again, that was the occasion for the psalm. It is not the content of the psalm. For here again, we have clues or sayings through here that David could never do for himself. And as I've said before, the idea that David would write a psalm justifying himself in his own righteousness and put it into the hymn book for the church, well, it's a kind of a ridiculous thought, isn't it? It's pretty arrogant to think that he would do such a thing. But this is a psalm about Jesus Christ and how David rested in him for his ultimate justification. And we'll look at that as we go through. It begins with, O Jehovah, or Yahweh, my God. And those two words are different words. O Jehovah, my God. And here we see him not putting his trust in, but putting himself in the covenant, because Jehovah or Yahweh is the covenant name of God. He puts himself in the covenant at the very beginning of this conversation. In you I put my trust. Save me from those who persecute me. Deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion. And we know that Jesus in his life was often persecuted, followed, and, attacked by the people around him. There are many times in the Gospels where we see a miraculous deliverance of Jesus in the times before it was his time to die. Next paragraph, O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is iniquity in my hands, if I have repaid evil to him who is at peace with me, or have plundered my enemy without cause. Now David cannot and could not make this claim in and of himself. For David had made war against those who were at peace with him. David in his life had killed friends, used lies and deception to have them murdered, had his own family killed, and allowed his children even to suffer for his own foolishness, weakness, laziness, selfishness. Now, David wasn't looking to himself here, but looking to the judge. He was also looking to the deliverer, to the Messiah, the one who was truly righteous. And this psalm is really the words of Jesus. Yes, let him trample my life to the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Now, for us to use a self-imprecatory oath like this that is not demanded by a proper authority is not correct. We do not have the right to make oaths like this on our own authority. But Jesus does, of course, as king, as prophet, and as priest. Also, if we were to ever make the oath, let me be killed on the spot if I've ever hurt anyone, the room would be empty, for we would all suffer the consequences of it. Arise, O Lord, or Jehovah, in your anger. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded. Now this is a call to the judge to come judge, for the Father to come protect, for the King of all the world to come and defend his people. But look at the next half of this paragraph. So the congregation of the people shall surround you. For their sakes, therefore, return on high. Now think about this, and how could David possibly have applied this to himself? But Jesus is saying, Father, rise up, defend me, accept my sacrifice, and raise me again. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded, so that then the congregations of the people shall surround you. Fulfill the terms of the oath that I may save your people, is what this psalm is saying. The Lord shall judge the peoples. And again, judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. Again, David couldn't say that, and I can't say that. But since Jesus had and was risen from the dead, then we go back a couple verses. So now we are part of that congregation that can rise up and surround the Father in worship. And there's an allusion, again, to those of you who know your New Testament, to the souls in heaven flying around the throne, worshiping the Father. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. Now, you notice it didn't say, make the wicked come to an end. There's also, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end and establish the just. And here I believe, rather than judgment of the sword, we see the judgment of salvation coming upon sinners. For the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. My defense is of God who saves the upright in heart. I believe here we have a picture of save those of your elect who currently are not saved yet. God is a just judge. And here we again, we have the more generic term for God, or it's Elohim. God is a just God, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, and another translation of that would be he, meaning the sinner, does not repent, God will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. And again, there's something you guys should key into the book of Revelation, when the writer took the bow down from the bow of the covenant down to judge the nations. He bends his bow and makes it ready and prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts. The end is coming to the sinner. One way or another, the knee will be bent. All will bow. Behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings it forth. We see the wicked making traps, pits, and snares, but being, well, in the words of William Shakespeare, hoist on his own petard. And I'll explain that to anyone who wants to know what it means later. But his own actions, his own traps come down upon himself, and his violent dealings come down on his own crown. And the end of this whole thing, looking at a God who comes to judge, but he protects his people. And in the covenant, he calls sinners to himself. And in the righteousness of the Messiah, the Lamb of God that he sent to save his people, he rescues his people and then protects them in the world and makes them fit for worship in heaven at the end of this life. And the end of it is, I will praise Jehovah according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of Jehovah Most High. Again, we hear people say we have to sing hymns because we can't sing about Jesus in the Psalms. The deficiency is not in the Psalms. The deficiency is in our understanding of them. Can we sing the covenant name of God, the name of the one who saved us? Can we praise the God of grace, of salvation, the one who sent the Messiah? Can we praise the Lamb of God who died for our sins and saved us? Yes, we certainly can. We do it every week. And here's a perfect example of it. If you misunderstand it, this is a song of some Bronze Age king who's being chased around by somebody for no purpose. If we look at it with the eyes of faith, we see the Messiah triumphant in his sinlessness, his righteousness, preparing a covenant, securing a covenant that brings salvation to his people and his people to his Father, a covenant family to worship, to live together in joy forever. That's the psalm here that we should be singing. That's the meaning of this text. So as we sing this, we'll sing portion B. So we'll sing now Psalm 7B.